Welcome to KUOW's Speakers Forum. I'm your host, John O'Brien. In this extra episode, there are so many great literary events in the Puget Sound area every month. As individuals, we make it to those we can. Sometimes we miss one we really wanted to attend. It's the same for us here at Speakers Forum, but we're especially grateful we didn't miss this one. The occasion was a celebration of a project curated by Washington State's Poet Laureate Todd Marshall. Washington 129 is an anthology of 129 poems submitted by people all over the state, young and old, professionals and amateurs. The wide variety of writers present an incredibly thoughtful collage of expressions. Themes include loss, hope, wonder, and especially place. This place, in this moment, and over time. The voices, when you hear them, will likely leave you charmed and wanting more. We caught this reading at Seattle's Open Books on October 5th. Open Books proprietor Billy Swift, Elizabeth Austin, and Todd Marshall introduced the event.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you all so much for coming tonight. We are absolutely delighted to be hosting Seattle's tremendous poets for a reading from this tremendous anthology put together by our tremendous Washington Poet Laureate, Todd Marshall. And we are now going to hear from Elizabeth Austin, who's going to say a few words. I keep this word that I hadn't registered for a while kept cropping up recently, this word outgoing before Poet Laureate Todd Marshall. And I couldn't, and it's just, and I think for a while I just ignored it. And then finally I had to sort of confront it. It's weird. You haven't been the Poet Laureate for very long, I think. You might think, yeah. Yeah, you think differently. But yeah, I don't know. So before Elizabeth gets up, I'll just give you sort of a heads up of what tonight's going to look like. We're going to have Elizabeth is going to say a few words. Todd is going to say a few words. And then we're just going to have each poet is going to stand up and come to the podium and read their poem from the anthology. And then they will introduce by name the following poet. And we'll just be presented with an incredible deluge of Seattle poetry in all of its myriad wonderfulness. I'm just beside myself, so I'm going to step away. I'm also going to leave this copy up at the podium, so any poets who need to consult it, thumb through it, are welcome to do so. So now I will, it is my absolute pleasure to introduce Elizabeth Austin.
Thank you, Billy, for welcoming us here, for keeping Open Books open. And thanks for inviting me to introduce Todd Marshall. Todd is indeed the outgoing Poet Laureate, but he still has several months, and it seems like several hundred more events on his calendar. So I just am going to be very brief. I just want to make sure that everyone who's here knows that in addition to editing this anthology, I just want to give you the teeniest little thumbnail sketch of what else Todd has been up to in his role as your Poet Laureate. So he has logged thousands, I'm sure, maybe tens of thousands of miles in all weathers so that he can be at schools, libraries, festivals, colleges, parks, correctional facilities, music events, many, many more things than I can even list, so that he can be a voice for poetry all around our state. He's also written something like half a dozen op-eds. In this environment, he is a voice in our newspapers for literature, for language, for, I would argue, sanity. He's also written something like half a dozen occasional poems. So these are poems for the dedication of buildings, for signing transportation packages, celebrating a town's semi-centennial. So this is just a little bit of what Todd has been doing on our behalf all over the state. But most of all, I want to just recognize that in a moment of I think certainly in my lifetime, unparalleled danger, polarization, ugliness that Todd again and again is traveling all over our state to be present to communities of every size and disposition, and to be a voice for the humanities, and to give voice to the importance of the integrity of the language. So, Todd, I wish you safe travels in these remaining months, and I just want to say thank you for everything that you have done and are doing and will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you, Billy, for hosting us tonight. And thank you, poets, for coming out. I think that one thing I realized early on in gathering submissions for this anthology is how many great voices, how many great spirits behind poetry we have in our state. I've met so many people that organize reading series, so many people that organize community workshops, so many people that are extensions of the arts and the humanities and communities. And that's just been a constantly reinvigorating dynamic for me. Well, as Elizabeth mentioned, the Poet Laureate Program is a wonderful program. It's sponsored by Humanities Washington and Arts Washington, and it exists to increase awareness and appreciation of poetry throughout the state. The main thing that I wanted to take a moment to emphasize is the work of those two organizations. It's work that is so very important, and it's work that looks like it's going to be facing an ongoing budgetary challenge. It's work that I think, in my mind, might provide a way out of some of this conflict that Elizabeth was alluding to. One mantra that I repeat over and over and over again at events, whether I'm talking to fourth graders or talking to retirement communities, is the importance of finding words that matter. And I think that when we find words that matter, it allows us to engage in conversations with one another. And when we engage in conversations with one another, we maybe get to a point where we'll risk entering into a space of unknowing, a space of uncertainty. And when we're able to do that, maybe we lessen our fear a little bit. Elizabeth and I were talking over dinner tonight, and I recently read a conversation between our former President Obama and Marilyn Robinson, in which they were talking about democracy. And Marilyn Robinson said that democracy cannot thrive where fear is present. And I've thought about that a lot. We had Marilyn Robinson to campus at Gonzaga a few years ago, and I got to drive her around in the car when she was there. And I don't think I've ever been as nervous as I was driving a person around as I was with driving Marilyn Robinson around. Not because she did anything. She just, just glowed like Marilyn Robinson glows, just a luminous spirit. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about was this anthology. So this anthology was published by Sage Hill Press. I received just under 2,400 poems for it, most of them through digital submissions, but also many of them through postal mail, about 300 through postal mail. I think Sage Hill did a wonderful job designing the book. We had some Gonzaga students also help with work on it. They made some broadsides, and I still have some of those broadsides. If you're at the launch event in Olympia, you saw some of the work that the students did on that, and I still have some of those. So if you know your poem was made into a broadside, shoot me an email, and I'll try to get some of those to you. The proceeds from the sale of this book, a portion of those go to the Poet Laureate Program going forward. Sage Hill, of course, gets their chunk as the publisher, but a portion of them goes to the Poet Laureate Program. So anything you can do to help move some of these books through a classroom adoption is going to help the next Poet Laureate travel to more places or travel more comfortably and safely to more places. So think about that if you're a teacher, a teacher. I think that it's a pretty great collection in terms of showing this really wild cross-section of our poetics. In 2017, we have poets in here published for the first time. We have our state's four MacArthur Fellows. We have people with many, many books. We have people writing in wonderful sonnets And we have people writing in poems that I think are powerfully felt as spoken word pieces. So I'm pleased with it. There are absences that break my heart, but you know, we can't do much about that at this point. Okay. That's all that I want to say. I want to hear some poems. It's great to sit back and listen to other people, and I'm looking forward to that tonight. So our first reader will be Anastasia. Yeah?
Hi, everybody. Bold. She says the mouse is domesticated because it comes out to eat when she is eating breakfast, all sunny side up. Because it washes his hands and waits for her to say grace. Because it walks around each trap and avoids eating pellets. Because it knows when she is trying to kill it. Because it won't just die already, she says, like everyone else. Because it wants to live its life in her kitchen, like she's all bright yellow and sunshine. Elizabeth Austin.
Thanks, Anastasia. I just want to say something very briefly about how this poem was written, because it was all of the words in the poem are from patients and parents and staff at Seattle Children's Hospital, where I work. There are two writers in the schools, writers, Sierra Nelson, who you'll hear later tonight, and Ann Teplick, who do poetry with patients. And every April, we do something at the hospital, usually organized by Sierra and Ann. And one year, they put posters up all over the hospital with different prompts and put pens up and asked people to fill in lines. And then several of us were given all of these responses. And the set that I was given began with the phrase, "My story begins." So what you're going to hear is everything that was on those posters. And the only thing that I did was add the order. And I think I added a few ands and os. My story begins. My story begins with a dream of a child, travel suitcases and hazy flights, a small town girl moving to a big city, putting on my tap shoes, keeping the faith, dancing. My story begins with Cambodia, leaving Cleveland, leaving Hawaii, flying to Disneyland, swinging from monkey bars, running a mile in pouring rain. My story begins with four words. Your child has cancer. We found a large mass in his liver, heart failure. My story begins with heartbreak and fear. And my story begins with Allah, God, Jesus, Muhammad, oh, Hail Mary, full of grace. My story begins with a brave three-year-old, the power of prayer, the power of faith, singers in bands, the love and blessings of friends and family, our two beautiful daughters, an open mind, a 14-year-old with the heart of a champion, Ramon, Liam, Lloyd, Quentin, TJ, Hope, Brady, Damien, Samantha, Jason, Luis, Love, Carolyn, Danielle, Connor, Jamae, Elise, Tanner, Ami, Howard, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My story begins with hope in God, forgiveness, compassion. My story begins with waking up, beating the odds, a new heart. And my story begins with a walk in the woods, helping others, caring, sharing, grace and humility, a new beginning. The chirp of a bird, a teeny tiny hummingbird, puppies, a polar bear, a black-footed ferret, cake, oh, joy, a chocolate mint sundae with strawberry sprinkles, strategically placed doilies, a rainbow waffle. My story begins with, oops, I forgot my belt. A bright white smile. A dream of a freckled girl humming a halo. A song. Love. My story begins with the volcano. The river. The heart. Please welcome Bill Carty.
Thank you, Elizabeth, and thank you, Billy, for hosting here, and thank you, Todd, for all the work you've done as Poet Laureate. I think, you know, the 22nd Amendment, maybe we can rework, have another term, perhaps. No. Okay. So I want, actually, this poem kind of follows up on what Todd was talking about fear, maybe some anxiety around politics. I wrote this poem, or at least an early draft of it, on my phone in the passenger seat, driving through Skagit County, probably coming back from the mountains after, you know, a weekend there, a hiking or a camping trip. And, you know, there's that anxiety you feel when you, like, are reconnecting with the news in the outside world. Anyway, this poem's called Poem in the Presidentiad. The Presidentiad comes from Walt Whitman. He had a line where he referred to a filthy Presidentiad, and I wrote this last summer, and that line seemed to echo. It also owes a debt to John Cage, the ending does. John Cage described his collaboration as with Merce Cunningham as being like the weather, because with an object, you can tell where the boundaries are, but with the weather, you can't tell where things begin and end. So that was their collaboration. So, and maybe a hopeful place to be. Poem in the Presidentiad. Too scared this morning to reverse from the driveway, we throttled through the garage and lost transmission in a field where four snow geese buried their necks in muck. Low afternoon light in the furrows, a poultice of turmeric and pain, which echoed from the barn, because the barn is a singing thing. Back to the city. It's Friday. Everyone who listens to country music with the windows down got off early today. The beach isn't open to the public anymore. Towels pile at the gate. We can still smell the Coltrane as we duck beneath the skeleton of its conveyance, tracks where someone wrote Sueños three times on the trestle. Someone was unafraid to spend all their wishes. At nightfall, mosquitoes ate what we offered, the little flesh to be found in the statuary where we walked after dinner, never having moved less like two objects and more like the weather. Next up is Claudio Castro-Luna.
It is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Todd, for all the work you've done. I have had the privilege of being with you at some of those events, including Covered Snow, and I have been amazed at your resilience and just the conviction of the post you've occupied. It's been really inspiring. Thank you, Billy, for tonight, and thank you, everyone, for coming. My poem is actually very short, and the interesting thing that I want to say about this poem is that I did indeed go on a walk with a friend, and she did indeed say the things which are stated in the poem. And when I came home, I realized that was so perfect, what she said. It was so perfect. It was a poem. And I wrote it down because I think there's music in our everyday language, as William Carlos Williams always said. And to me, this is a perfect example of the language that we sing. And we may not be aware of it, but we do it all the time. and this is why we all can write poems. So here is where we are. "I have always wanted a house with a big porch," said my friend on our walk this morning. "That way I can sit, drink my coffee, and watch the rain fall." Please welcome Lynn Ellis.
Hey there. I ride my bike around the city a lot. I think it's a great way to interact with your environment and see things. And I saw something that really shook me, so I wrote about it. This is Interurban Trail Berry Pickers. "Pretty girls in white denim shorts hold milk glass bowls against their pinpricked thighs. One lifts her arm towards black fruit and leans on point into the bramble. Blind to the brush a wine smack smears on her denim, she pulls summer stems. Fruit upon fruit fills the curve at her hip. She tiptoes on a forgotten campsite flop, unmindful of the rumpled gray socks and empties discarded beneath her coral toenails." Priscilla Long.
This is great. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Billy. So this is from a trip to the Nisqually Delta, and it is addressed to my late sister, Suzanne. Nisqually Delta. "The wind is up, the sky cold over the Nisqually mudflats. Small trees poke through wave-white froth, the flooding high tide. Great blue herons stand motionless as icons. Gulls sail blue air. Ducks duck into white water. I would show this delta to you who are dead by your own hand 30 years, but you cannot see the wild sea, nor hear croaks of ducks, nor your other sister clumping joyfully along the long boardwalk to McAllister Creek. She marvels at Dunland's flashing white. Your toddler niece, now 33, points to a bald eagle high on a branch, a spirit messenger, so they say." Next up, Beth Meyer.
Thank you, Priscilla. Good evening, everyone. I have the distinction of having the shortest poem in the anthology. And it's simply a love poem. It's untitled, as most love poems often are. "When we first met, you opened me like a letter. Who can speak of what the peony gives out when it's bowed down to the ground with rain?" Thank you. Arlene Naganawa is next. Thank you.
When I was a student a long time ago at the UW, I waited tables at the International House of Pancakes over on 43rd, and this poem is a letter to one of the regulars. "Dear Mr. Cook, when we waited on you at IHOP, sunny side up, toast, black coffee, we knew you liked all of us. Jody with her bleached blonde braid, Luli and Janie's air guitars. When we visited your apartment, I envied the fireplace and leaded glass. No photos, just a Chesterfield, chairs and British knickknacks, porcelain roses and turned candlesticks. Mr. Cook, I should have guessed you set your clock on the bedside stand in the dark, that you waited until 7 to take your usual table. I should have thought about my father working graveyard shifts to pay for books and my tuition, packing his sandwiches in wax paper, drinking from a midnight thermos of hot tea. I used to like a cigarette, standing in the prop back door with the busboy who became the one I broke my father's heart for, hitchhiking to Nevada. Mr. Cook, I'm sorry I didn't admire your books in the leather covers or take you to fireworks on Green Lake. In the papery aftermath of family picnics, we could have watched from a blanket, cascading waterfalls in peonies, silent last chrysanthemums. Thank you. And I would like to introduce the amazing Shankar Narayan.
How to run above the cliffs. Allow honesty enough of Olympics, of sea. The same run, always different. Blood on a difficult hill when she is old. Straw-shorn fields, dark matter. From the persistent third world with her mongrel and 57 Ford. Approaching upright, stained red, with infinite goblets. Find love for a land never yours entirely. Compassion, your heart exploding. Into the ventricles and auricles and other empty spaces. Who runs the places you once did? Of temple bells half a world away, of your upturned, blue-veined love. Aspire to pace your billion cells, all your truths persisting. Cup the one you pass. In shore surf rings at the perigee of your approach, fragments of lives all around. Kindness and strangers that burn and burn. Of wine. For something, for no one, taking air from your endlessly cycling footfalls. Mountain and sea and distant sails. Eyes of salt lagoon, ears of donkey Buddha. In your ear, Nusrat, exalting. What breaks and breaks and regenerates when you no longer can run. Her coal eyes, the hill. Rip your chest like typhoons through empty. Running, you miss her. The strangeness of kinds, these greening yards, those loving palms. Of beast. Your eye, the corner of an unfamiliar field. Virtues of silence and wandering. Who desires to reside in hollows of your left lung? Sense the deer sensing you. Let you nearer and nearer than lightning bolt. To river running, to ocean running, always away from you. Hills burning into ragged lungs, who sings the torn note you once embodied? That smile. Find someone's second sight. See deer, mountain, sea, sun, gleaming, a tooth, a fang, something animal, something of your heart. These lavender views. Thank you. And I have the pleasure of being followed by my friend and friend to cephalopods everywhere, the the fathomless yet unfathomable Sierra Nelson.
Goodness, what an honor to be part of this collection and to be here tonight. And thank you all for being in this community. This is all true. Influence. At the bottom of Lake Washington, there is a train, sunk with the barge that carried it, train cars still filled with coal. 7 airplanes, including a 4-propeller World War II bomber, bomb bay doors open, 50 caliber machine guns inside. About 400 boats, including ferries, barges, 3 Navy minesweepers. Some sank in fires, some in storms, some got so old the owners sank them. Bags of garbage, a body of a dog tied to concrete, a baby in a bag, research, 2 drowned forests, a village. Our gifts were not a wooing. Thank you. And it's my honor to introduce Susan Rich as our next reader.
Thank you. And it's an honor to be part of this reading, as everyone's saying, and to be able to have this incredible bookstore to be in and to have Todd, all of this and everybody out here. I think in the time we're living in, it was like, I'm going to make it tonight no matter what it takes, because I knew I'd be among my people. This poem, I'll just say a few things. When Todd put out the call for poems, I thought, well, I wasn't born in Washington, so is it okay that I participate? I really felt like it was sort of like maybe not legal. And then I realized that most of us reading tonight might not have been born here. And this was a poem that required research, which is a great way to procrastinate when I'm writing. And it starts with a wine-colored Camaro. And I teach at Highline College, and indeed, that part of the poem is definitely true. And it was wonderful to have a moment in the morning before I started my day of teaching where I could actually think like a poet. This is why the relationship might work. Because the call of shorebirds wakes me, and this morning I watched a seagull sunbathe on a wine-colored Camaro. Because the air offers up notes of salt water and scrub rose whenever I walk out the door, even if I'm on the way to the grocery store. Because the wine, because Walla Walla and Hendrix, because we travel by ferry and the world's longest floating bridge. Because flocks of joggers along Alki Beach nod a quick hello like goldfinches, keeping a pace to the beat of black wings. Because tumbleweed and tulip, fish ladder and loof carousel, because we have declared an official oyster. Because hemlock, because humans who plant sun gold tomatoes and build boats from cedar and oak. Because I picked you from all 50 states to be my Valentine of sweet onions and jazz apples. Because the rain. Because someone chose a piece of petrified wood for the state gem. And because without the journey out west, we would never have met. And it's my great pleasure to welcome Heidi Seaburn up.
Oh, such gratitude for this place of poets and poems and for this wonderful anthology. Oh, I feel so lucky. And the poem that I had the good fortune of having here is a poem about that last moment before your first child goes off to college. It's called What We Hold On To. Dungeness Spit, Washington. The road gathers the fields, harvesting them with each turn. A barn with silver silos crests the green horizon. The houses whose gardens snap sunflowers, rhubarb, lettuce, and stunted corn are the dream we each harbor in the folded wing of our palm. We stem from forest trail to the beach, skid the sand between our toes, feel the smooth circles of stone beneath our feet. This spit is the crooked finger calling the ocean home, the arm holding our family together. We sleep on driftwood, eat cheese and sausage on Russian rye, search for agates like four-leaf clovers. The wind is not enough to unbalance the cranes from their post, not enough to push us further down the spit to the lighthouse. Thank you. And now, not least, but last, Martha Solano.
Thank you. It's wonderful. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Billy. And thank you all for coming. And yes, last, but hopefully not least. At the Bybee Farms U-Pick, North Bend, Washington, where I plunked blueberries into a blue bucket, leaned into the first bush on the path, my daughter loping ahead, convinced the best ones are further down, running to show me five in her hand. See? What did I tell you? But I couldn't stop picking what was in front of me, though arguably smaller, though barely able to discern her red sweatshirt, her whole being enveloped in green. Picked for an hour before fatigue and boredom set in, hot, hungry, starving, dying of thirst, her litany of suffering. We have to pick more, I said, though mostly she cartwheeled, stood on her hands, asked me to count, to watch, asked and asked and asked. Half an hour more, I said, then lugged our buckets to the stand, 13.68 pounds. Enough for a winter. To fold into batter, fill a pie. Though it was difficult to imagine a day in December, reaching into the freezer to taste July, white crowned sparrows pecking in the grass where I'd tried to convince her, the best fruits where you're standing, not at the end of the row.
That's it for this extra from Speakers Forum. These Washington 129 poets read their works at Seattle's Open Books. Thank you for listening. Tune in again soon.